Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. Now, here's your host, CJ.
Hello, welcome back, everybody. It's back to school time, and you may remember your middle school years when you came back with pimples of flare on your face. You may have grown 6 inches, and you're looking all around at other people and yourself going, what the heck happened to me? And today we actually have guests, Julie Metzger and Dr. Rob Lehman from Great Conversations, and we are going to be giving you a full crash course on what you need to know about your teens. What we're going to start off by talking about what may be happening when they're going back to school and how you can be more compassionate and understanding and connect with where they are right now. And we're going to also talk about some of the other issues, either health issues that teens have that you may want to know about, as well as social issues. And then we'll be talking about the parent issues and how you as parents can let go as your teens mature. So welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, what are some of the concerns that kids typically have when they enter, enter a new middle school or high school? What are the things that you typically see?
Well, for sure, just as you mentioned, the puberty experience is radically redefines who you are physically. And for girls, that can happen very quickly. Between the ages of 8 and 13, girls can grow 2 to 10 inches and gain 15 to 55 pounds. And by the time they're finished with puberty, they'll have twice the amount of fat as a boy. So their body is really different. And the filter that they see themselves through and the mirror of which they look into, they have to readapt their kind of thinking and viewpoint about how they think the world sees them and how they see themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it seems like, that's a huge change.
Yeah. I mean, it's transforming.
I think I'm going through the same thing as a middle-aged woman. I think I've gained about 15 pounds. Same thing. And it is really disconcerting because all of a sudden you don't fit in your clothes. You have fat where you didn't have fat. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is kind of disconcerting. I can
but
say
people
that
look at you differently.
Yeah.
So that, I think that's so much about it. And you're treated differently.
Yeah. I say to my son, I said, we're both going through our middle crises. I'm going through my middle age crises. And you're going, so I actually honestly do know what you're feeling, because you go up and you say, who am I? What am I doing here in the world? Which I think is probably what you wake up thinking as well. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Robin? What do you think are the typical things you hear?
Oh, the same thing. I think that you not only see your own body changing, but you're noticing your friends have also changed, particularly the ones you didn't see over the summer.
Right.
And you get the chance to see the same differences that some adults may see.
Right.
And you begin to be treated, perhaps valued differently based on the way you look, in addition to who you think you are. And you're learning a little bit more how you're relating to as a grown-up.
We also know that the kids this age are fire up in different parts of their brain a self-consciousness that you can't find with the same ideas in an adult brain. There's this really fun study out of the University of London where they put a bunch of middle school girls through an MRI and they just tried to see what would light their brains up. And when it came to very self-conscious comments, like all your friends have seen you picking your nose, things like that, the girls' brains just lit up like fireworks. And then they put their mothers through the same MRI and they couldn't even get those mothers' brains to remotely respond under the same comments. And I think, again, nature, nurture, what's going on, but that girls' self-consciousness.
Yeah.
I mean, the only other time that your body's been under the same transformation is birth to one. Mm-hmm. And there's no, there's no self-consciousness during that time in the same way as you have. So you're very aware of it. And for girls, again, it's very condensed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's highly sexualized world that we live in. Versus boys, puberty is drawn out, but there's some stressful points about that as well.
Yeah. So what are the great conversations that you would have with your child? I mean, you've noticed that they've changed. They're going to notice that they've changed. You're going to see other people changing, either taller, bigger, fatter, whatever. I mean, what's the great conversation that you had with your children or you could have with your children as they're going back to school?
Well, certainly that you're valued beyond your physical self and that your assets and gifts are go beyond that defined sense of physical self, and that you as a family or you as parents also value others beyond their physical self. Mm-hmm. The amazing Deborah Tannen, who's a linguist out of Georgetown, she wrote a book about mothers and daughters, and when she looked at all the conversations that between mothers and daughters, it came down to weight, clothes, and hair.
Which is so awful.
I think certainly we can rise above those conversations with our.
It goes beyond your weight, clothes, and hair.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What do boys do things differently?
I think an important thing is a conversation about normal. Like you said, fat, thin, tall, short, they're going to be changing at different rates, and they're going to be very well aware of others, particularly the boys who are slower than their friends will need extra support from the parent about the fact that, yes, you are normal. There is a wide range of how this is going to work in different speeds. And rather than push a small boy into tackle football, which may or may not be appropriate, maybe encouraging sports, great, but maybe a sport that doesn't rely on physical size as much as something like that, if that boy is a little later than his friends.
And that's so hard, though, because, like, for example, where my children go, the big sport is basketball. So, you know, if you're not tall, I mean, and it's hard because if you're not a tall guy, it's much harder playing basketball than not. So, you know, I can see that that would be kind of a hard thing.
When we ask boys, or when Rob and our colleagues on the faculty that teach our boys class ask boys, you know, what makes a man? Being tall is a very valued idea in our society, and muscles and a deep voice, so this kind of manly man. And since most of your puberty is defined by genetics, you know, some people that's just not in the cards. And when you just try Googling the word girl or Googling the word man, boy, you get such an interesting idea of what comes up. For girls, there's 5 pages of sexual content and sexualized girl images. You know, I think it was like page 4 when I finally got to the definition in Wikipedia for girl versus boys. That idea of kind of puppy dog tail, look at the cute boy jumping on the trampoline, boys and Girl Scouts. Yeah. You know, that idea, that is so such a different feel to it.
Yeah, it does feel different. So I understand that they're supposed to be beyond their weight, clothes, and hair, or their muscles and their height. Hmm. But I mean, how do you have that conversation with your kids? So let's pretend I'm your child. Mm-hmm. I came back from school, you know, everyone's so much taller than me. Mm-hmm. You know, what would you say to them?
Well, one thing is I would say, let's look at your family and start off there and say, what do we look like as adults? And I would also, if I'm a dad and my boy is looking at his peers as taller than him, I would relate to him what happened when I was his age.
Yeah.
And was I later than my peers?
Here's what happened in my family. This is probably what's going to happen.
There's a good ending to the story.
Right.
So that's good for him.
Yeah.
Some boys may notice it, but it really is not that big a deal.
Right.
So I wouldn't reinforce it if, in fact, that's not a problem in his eyes.
Wait, don't make it a problem.
No.
Wow, did you notice how tall so-and-so got? And how short you are? Like, you're not. Don't go there.
Right. And although tall is really, really high on their list, I would also see if I can get out of him, what other kind of things make kids popular in school?
Yeah.
And what's happening in school aside from the just measuring the physical size and
well, it's intelligence. That's the other thing I've heard there. It's like, it's basically they're the jocks. There's the intelligent jocks. And then they're the snooty, mean girls. And then they're the nice girls and the nerdy girls.
Yeah, middle school.
It's the same as my middle school class.
Middle schools change. The schools now beginning to treat the kids differently. They begin to have selection of classes as opposed to elementary schools, which generally just you just stay with your class.
Yeah.
And you get to be in hallways and locker rooms and all that sort of social activity that you didn't have before.
Right.
The whole how to negotiate in a social milieu of your peers changes dramatically from elementary school.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it seems from what I can tell, they in middle school where they're at, they just the whole time is the time to push, shove each other into lockers and make rude remarks. From what I can tell,
and it's where they learn a lot of.
Yeah, it's the socialization. It's all those little transition points at lunch and during the hallway and things like that. How about for girls? Because I just remember. I mean, it seems so different. Like I remember my innocent, you know, turn to puberty and reading "Are You There, God, Margaret?" You know, I'm like, am I going to get my period? Will I have breath? You know, I mean, are girls still going through those kind of things or not?
Oh, sure. You know, it's like, again, there's a full range of people's experience or confidence or sense of self during that same transition. I think, again, because their puberty is more defined in terms of numbers of years, lots of girls are finished with puberty by the time they finish up middle school and they get to move into high school kind of with that transformed sense of self versus boys are just kind of getting going.
Yeah.
And I think that girls work out, you know, of course you're always looking at yourself and asking the question, am I normal or is this going to work out okay? And I think as a parent, first and foremost, that's kind of the question that you have to assume is on all girls' minds. Is this going to work out okay for me and am I normal? And I think so much of girls' puberty becomes a logistical thing that sometimes just giving some really basic ideas of problem-solving scenarios, how to manage your period, what to do about comments. I think that all those things become really helpful skill building and like you're building a little toolkit. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it is just kind of being awake and alert to watching your girl. I mean, if somebody came up with a specific thing, like you just gave the example, look, everyone's gotten so tall, I'm so short, then you have something that you know is on the mind. But I think you can also assume that everybody, both boy and girl, kind of has this constant idea in their head of, does this look okay? How am I perceived by others? And so through that lens, the unasked most basic question, you can kind of hit that directly and or indirectly by walking the talk. You can begin through your own conversations by valuing other assets in other people. I love the way she spoke up just then. That must have been hard. Or he was really courageous by doing that. Or our family really admires the way he pursued that goal and worked hard to get there. And so those kinds of comments sort of walk the talk of what you value and what you see as important. And that doesn't necessarily come out of somebody walking up and or waiting for the moment to say, am I too fat? Right?
I
think that's where you're forced into kind of and that's great. But I think we have to assume as a parent that all those kids are asking the question of, so is this okay?
Right. And I think actually, even in the description that you gave in the hypothetical talking to the boy, it does answer, am I okay?
Sure.
What is normal? This is what's normal genetically, and here's what I've gone through. So it's really just asking the unanswered question that is behind their mind that they're not even conscious of.
Right.
That's really the concern that
exactly.
they have. And how am I perceived? Like, you know what? Whether you're tall or not really doesn't matter. You know, there are probably kids that are tall that people love and people that are tall that people don't love, right? You know, so it's okay. It's all okay. So don't focus too much on height. And I think you're right. It's not just this one pivotal moment where you have like the end all be all conversation where you have to like nip this at the bud. It's probably like a series. I love the last time we spoke. It's a series of 5-minute, 1-minute conversations where you point out other attributes aside from these things. And I think as parents, you have to be careful not to dwell on these things too, because honestly, I'm probably dwelling on it more than they are dwelling on it.
Mm.
Yeah. Right. Even just like for as a mom, it's weird when you talk to someone like, hello, Mrs. Rosenblatt. I'm like, oh my God, what is that? You know, I've talked to this child for like the last 5 years and now they're like, hello.
so true.
Yeah, I think it's kind of freaky when they come back and they look completely different. I think it's time for break, but I didn't get any notices. But anyways, we have Dr. Rob Lehman and Julie Metzger, co-author of Will Puberty Last My Whole Life? Real Answers to Real Questions from Preteens About Body Changes, Sexes, and oops, sex is sex and other growing up stuff. So we're going to talk next with Dr. Rob Lehman about health issues. And this is one of our last two shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And we're going to transfer most of our stuff over to YouTube and some other radio stuff that you can find on our website by going to www.fireitupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.
Summer has come and passed. The innocent can never last. Wake me up when September.